Okay, good morning. What I'm going to do for the next quarter of an hour or so is just take you through what we did with our cat, and I hope most of you at least saw it on the table yesterday. If not, I've got a few slides to at least explain what it looks like. What I've done is simply put together something that says this is how we approached it, why we approached it in that way, and then there's some snippets at the end that give some sort of headlines about what we found. This is our cat, simple, manual-based war game. Hopefully you all saw it. If not, if there's anyone new today, these few slides just illustrate the sort of thing that's in it. Deliberately designed to be simple, quick running, transparent. Picture of the original test games that we put together. Uses diagrams, tables, those sorts of things. The units there you can see are on the right-hand side with combat powers in various domains, the land, power, the air and maritime, all represented by numbers reflected on the counters that you see there. And then outcomes of events, combat, for example, determined by looking at those numbers, using lookup tables and so on. The other element that it's got, again, just to remind you of what you saw yesterday, that they were hidden away a bit in the Falklands demo, but up on the top right-hand side of the Falklands map, we have marker tracks. And those give the game at least the capability to reflect some of the softer factors, the human terrain, if you will, the local population support as a consequence of what you've done and what has happened in the rest of the game. So there's land stuff, there's air stuff, there's also this softer stuff, the human terrain, the human dimension, all represented. A couple of pictures there just to show how big it can get. That was in the big exercise that we ran with the army last year. You may recognise one face in the top picture. Grabbing the limelight as usual, Graham. Okay, what we've actually done with it, just to give you a bit of history, we've applied it to several applications for DSTL. It was originally done for DSTL, so it was used. Three future force development projects. This is prior to the VMV exercises. It was also actually, whilst we were doing the VMV process, we actually used it to support the army exercise, the three UK division actually. And it was used to facilitate the exercise control in that. Now, why am I saying that? Well, A, to say that it's actually been used in anger on those, at least those four things. So it's been open for viewing, for evaluation, comment, if you will, by subject matter experts in the room who saw this, saw some of the algorithms work, and could actually feed in comment. And one of the levels, of course, of V&V is SME review. Now, what we did, in fact, for all of those, particularly for the last one, has actually spent quite a bit of time capturing information from what the game player comments, for example, but also outcomes in terms of combat outcomes. In the last one, we actually compared it to, they had a simulation, the Abacus computer simulation running at the same time, and we actually captured information to compare and parallel what ARCAT had been saying with the results of those games. So although you see quite a, and I'm now going to go through specifically what we did, we actually gathered quite a bit of information in previous applications in order to feed into this evaluation of the ARCAT VMV status. So the VMV project ran from about that time.
VMV is, please.
Sorry.
MNV, is it meet and veg?
Verification validation.
Thank you.
So how did we approach it? There is UK MOD guidance, which is actually, when we use that, as, of course, as part of our process, our approach. That guidance is exactly the same as is applied to software. So we took the approach for validation and verification of models, and we used the same approach to actually drive what we then did in our project. And they come under two levels, really. There's inspection, which was evaluation review of what's actually inside the algorithms, how it's working, review by subject matter experts, and then also looking at comparative data sources. So trying to take historical data, range of different data sources, and actually compare that and see if they match up with, for example, the combat results table, some of the numbers on the counters to actually calibrate those. So you look at operational results, historical results, try and work back from those to see what that would mean in terms of numbers and outputs, which you can then compare in particular into some of the into the modules within the ARCAT game. Now that was completed for pretty much all the modules. So it was completed for the land systems, the air, the naval, the marker tracks, so the softer, the human terrain, ISR, so surveillance systems, detection systems, what else? Things like NGOs, so white forces, white players. Now, some of those, of course, there's a lot of quantitative data, land in particular. For others, marker tracks. You know, is there any calibrated data that says, drop a bomb on a village, your local support goes down or up? Actually, that is much softer. So there's a mixture within the game of levels of confidence, if you will, compared to those. However, particularly for things like ISR, we could go to an extreme and represent the ISR systems in a lot of detail, but actually we were steered away from doing that and trying to represent it at the sort of aggregated level that you hopefully you get an impression of when you saw the slides and if you saw the demo yesterday. Now, as well as those detailed evaluations, what we also did is three tests, aggregated system-level tests, so the whole game, and one of those you actually saw illustrated yesterday. I'll come back to those a bit later on. So, first off, a lot of data gathering across the spectrum of different things that within modules, we called them, not really modules, but elements within RCAP. We did updates based on that. In fact, to be honest, it's been updated throughout the whole process. We then did integrated testing, where we did the individual modules first. That was the theory anyway. There was a bit of run over of some of the modules. Brought it together in an integrated test. Quite a lot of people in this room were involved, and that probably had about 15 people. We then did the full historical test that you see at the bottom, where you took the whole system and then basically ran it through to try and recreate, represent those three campaigns, and then did a comparison of what happened in those in the game with the historical data. So let me now just touch on those. This is Gulf War 1991, the first one that we did. And this was actually where we sat in a room at Shrivenham for some... probably 3 days, I think, total. Obviously, a lot of preparation beforehand, 3 days or so in total. And we refought the Gulf War campaign, the air campaign first, followed by the land campaign. So both elements actually included in that. Clearly, not a lot of maritime in this one. So the focus for the Gulf War was to try and test out the land component, shall we say, the land calculations. And then also, as a predecessor to that, before that, actually look at the air campaign. I'm going to cover both of those in this. So land first. What you've got in terms of the outcomes, and there's a big report on each of these, as well as a report in terms of the evidence gathered and how that drives the algorithms for each of the elements that you saw on that previous slide. So I'm really summarising very crudely here. But you've basically got a sort of headlines is that you've got overall the geography of what actually happened in our test was broadly similar. We knew what happened, so there was an element of, okay, well, we know what happened, let's see how close it is as we ran it. There may be some bias in there, but actually, overall, it was extremely similar in terms of the rates of advance and so on. Perhaps more interesting is you've got also, in terms of calibration of casualties. So you've got, basically, most of the divisions were destroyed, the Iraqi divisions, defeated in the land battles. There was only one division that was actually not rendered completely ineffective within RCAP, pretty close to what happened historically. In terms of casualty counts, in terms of actual numbers of people killed, there is an algorithm that allows us to estimate that. That varies. If you look at the CRT, the combat results table you saw there, you've got a sort of extreme left and right of arc set of results, and that's what you're seeing reflected here. So we cover quite a spectrum. The real result, of course, is in the middle. Now, if we look at the air, actually, we'd subjected that to quite a lot of testing. There was a pre-test where we actually looked at the air campaign running right through, allocating sorties, I'm using that term loosely, to target types, calculating the damage that might have been achieved against the different target types, and then looking at that in comparison with the write-down that occurred for real, as best we could gather the information, of course. And there are some good sources for that, the Gulf War Air Survey being the topmost of that. And on the top right-hand side, you can actually see this is actually the allocation of... In terms of the actual tests, we did this couple of pre-tests, which were quite interesting to see how close or far away they were. When we actually had the actual event, I was directed by the players as to the allocation of the target type. So that was that's what was done. And then the outcomes of those strikes was determined. We had a profile, basically, and you can see bottom left, an approximate profile of what was actually applied to the for the airstrike. So he started with strategic targets, down bottom left the blue, that tailed off a little bit, and a lot of them in terms of the air and maritime, basically counter-air striking the air bases, and then moving on to the army after about day nine or so and starting to write those down. Look at the top right, you've got pretty similar sorts of trends as that occurred. In terms of outcomes, I've actually picked out some words that were actually in the final report. So top left, you can see that. That's the rundown, if you like, the timetable of what was achieved in the last RCAT test, the basic main RCAT test. So there's another two that we use as well as comparisons. And you can see that pretty much after day nine, you've got defeat of mainly all, certainly the integrated air defence, as far as that's concerned. Much of the air defence units have been struck a couple of times. The air defence command and control have been struck, pretty much destroyed by that time. Infrastructure targets have been knocked out by day 12 and so on. Now the land component, you can see there's an oar in there, which might set alarm bells off, it's not meant to. It basically said, you know, do you strike the front line first and then write those right down, or do you do everybody as a parallel? So that's, in effect, well, there were two branches at that point. You could either have reduced everybody to 75%, all of the units, or actually reduce some to 50, down to 50%, or the others to zero. So you just allocate those. Now by day 27 of the air campaign, you've got 80 brigades overall down to 50%, 40 of them down to, not to 75%. Now if you look at the graphic on the top right, that is one of the sources, and it shows the degradation. Red means you've achieved 75% degradation against the front line, 50% to the others that are pink. So reasonably. Start to look at the bottom and you start to see some coalition losses. We're converting from points to aircraft, so that's a little bit tricky there, but that's a ballpark for about like. Sorry, I thought I'm getting a steer. Okay, Iraq 2003, the second one, I'll speed up a little. You've got Iraq 2003, just to point this out, this is all about the, or mainly about human terrain, so marker tracks. Marker tracks all over the map. The map is shown on the left-hand side, the different areas that was represented. And as you saw yesterday with RCAT, a lot of air stuff, a lot of land stuff, a lot of maritime, there were a few strikes, a few kinetic things, mainly it was about patrolling, information operations, security operations and things like that. So they were actually, that shows RCAT in a different light. In terms of outcomes, broadly we were quite happy with that. To say it was exactly the same as what happened in Iraq, no, it wasn't. But in terms of the type of trends that were occurring, there was a fairly stable level of military force in the country. There was no complete breakdown. There was no major surge as there had been, but there were some deployments in. The land battles were pretty close. Well, they were close, we'd expect that. And then you saw some of the softer factors, discussions about some changes in government. You also had a clear observation of things like Shia power rising over in the eastern sector as a consequence of what was happening in the game, which of course is exactly what happened. Finally, the Falklands one, which you saw on the table yesterday. This, of course, was intended to be an all-up test, allowing us to look in more detail at air. The Gulf War 91 was an aggregated air campaign. This allowed us to just drop down a level using some of the more detailed semi-aggregated mechanisms to look at particular strikes, for example, in that campaign. Overall, there's a summary. Sorry, I've gone off a bit. Top line. The campaign timeline was similar, consistent. When you look at some of the airstrikes, you had an overall result. I've got another slide in a minute talking about the air outcomes. But you generally saw the same sorts of trends. There was an impetus for the marker tracks, which was driving towards the likelihood of trying to achieve a victory early. Goose green, goose green. In terms of the actual combat mechanics, you saw ratios that were calculated, which when put to the operational commanders in the game, actually they said, yes, that was right. I should have got to mention that. This is actually, the third test was actually including two senior real operational commanders from the Falklands. So as well as actually testing the flow of the campaign, we were very interested in their views, particularly about whether the game was giving them the same sorts of decision options that they would face for real. And then lastly, you've got the air campaign at the bottom there. In our campaign, which was fought here actually, at King's College here, and you've got the loss of a number of warships, broadly similar to the sorts we were getting, in reality. You can see the numbers at the bottom there. In terms of aircraft losses overall, again, we're converting from points to aircraft, but in the semi-aggregated version of the RCAT air system, air and naval system, you get closer to actually platform losses. So again, pretty close, you see there. Not exactly the same. So overall, in summary, and I don't mean to go through all of this, there were three, originally when we talked about this, we talked about three, about RCAT applications with DSTL with Colin, three general application areas: judgment-based, basically facilitating discussion, moderated rule-based, where you've got somebody there to, you know, you can view the outcomes, view the results and say, okay, does this work? And then there's rigid rule. This is more about where you're trying to extract, if you can, might be a bit risky, but to extract something about numbers as well as insights and some of the other stuff you see on the top two modes. And as a headline, purely headline, then you can see, we can see our overall conclusions there in the final VNV report. Talk about high levels of confidence, and speaking out of turn, shoot me, Colin, in the use for it as within a judgment-based context. In a moderated rule-based context, as you saw yesterday, again, high confidence. When you start to try and use it to tease out numbers, you know, actually hardcore percentages of forces lost and so on, then you start to be a little bit wary and look in more detail at which areas it's actually using to do that, so land or air, or is it, if it marker tracks, you know, could you really say that these marker tracks would move by 17% based on RCAT? That's probably getting a bit risky, and that's it.